and we like to worship and we like to praise. That helps us, but what really gives you the strength for your walk with God is the Word of God. Amen? Now, the Scripture says that the Father is seeking such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So there's four ways that you can worship God. You can worship Him with spirit and no truth, truth and no spirit, no spirit, no truth, or truth and spirit. So along with the truth and the Word of God, we've got to have a little spirit. Some people just like to worship and aren't too keen on the Word of the Lord, because sometimes the Word of God will affect you. And folks don't always want to be affected by the Word of the Lord. But we need both. Amen? We need both. Let's take our Bibles today and let's turn to Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. And it's so good to see Ricardo again, Brother Rick's son. And we're glad to see him and visiting his family. And great to have you in the house of the Lord, Ricardo. Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" I'd like to read one more passage of Scripture in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, and verse 25. Daniel, chapter 7, and verse 25. Of course, this is speaking of the end times. And I think we're living in the end times. Amen? Like I said, whether it's going to be tomorrow or a little ways down the road, I don't know. But I do know, if you read the Scriptures, that we are in the end times. Just do a study a little bit on where the Scripture says in the last days there'll be earthquakes and wars and so on and so forth. Do a graph. Get on Google, on the internet, and do a graph of earthquakes, and you'll find just in the last 10 years or so, earthquakes have gone up like that. Since the beginning of the 20th century, wars have gone up like that. So we're seeing Bible prophecy fulfilled before us. Daniel 7:25 says, "He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." Amen. I wonder, maybe I could get Brother Jonathan, why don't you run up here real quick and pray? I'll hold the baby for you while you come up here. I'm okay with babies. And you pray and just ask the blessing of the Lord. I want to preach to you today about faith must be tough. Everybody say, faith must be tough. All right.
Thank you, Lord, for being in your presence this morning. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for the word that you're going to bestow upon us today, God. We just ask for your presence in this place, God. We ask that you would prepare our hearts, God, to hear your message and that we would be able to accept it and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Shake somebody's hand, look at them, say your faith's got to be tough, and have a seat. Amen. You can be seated. If you read that scripture in Daniel, it's not a very positive scripture. I'm glad it's still up there. You can see it says, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand. Now, we don't understand, of course, a lot of prophecy, and people make a business out of prophecy. I don't make a business out of prophecy. If you make some straight predictions, then you may end up like Harold Camping and make a giant fool out of yourself. Scripture says we see through a glass darkly, but then we're going to see face to face. Now, salvation doctrine, we can be clear about that. But as far as what's happening in prophecy, we just get glimpses of that. But here, you can apply what you see here to the land that we're living in today. Of course, just a couple of weeks ago in New York, they signed the gay marriage bill, and their intention is to make New York City the gay wedding capital of the world. And all of that is really is about money, because they already had websites out there. They already had promotions ready to go. And there's people that are just simply wanting to make money off of that. They can't do it anywhere else, so they'll have them do it there. Yet we find that the scripture is fulfilled, because it says that they were going to think about changing times and laws. Amen? And we find that happening. We find a redefinition that is trying to take place, that no longer is marriage between a man and a woman, but just between somebody and somebody. Well, I still like to go to the scripture where it says, when the Lord saw it was not good for a man to be alone, he didn't make him another man. Amen. I love my brothers, but not in that kind of sense. In our world, the word love has really been taken, and it's been messed up. They've taken it to mean sex. They've taken it to mean that kind of thing. But the Bible talks about several different kinds of love, brotherly love being the greatest kind. So I can say I love my brothers, but I don't love them like my wife. Amen? That's a different type of relationship. But that's not going to stop the devil from trying to change times and laws. And the scripture says it shall be given into his hand. It also tells us just before that, that he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And I don't know how many of you have felt worn out lately, but that's just a little bit of Bible prophecy coming to pass in your life. And what that's telling you, and we'll look into some other scriptures here, is that in the last days that we live in, you've got to have something behind your faith. Years ago, you could just kind of just go along with the crowd, and their faith would take you through. As a matter of fact, we had somebody that had moved out of the area, and they enjoyed being in a bigger church when they were in a bigger church, because the current of the church, so to speak, would just kind of carry them along. Well, that day is ending completely. Whether you're in a big church or a small church, doesn't matter, because you're going to have something inside of you if you want to keep living for God. We sang these great songs about some glad morning when this life is over, I'm going to fly away. That's our hope. Amen. If we die, Scripture says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Maybe you could put that up for me, Brother Tayo. I believe it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15. It says, and the Lord himself, it's either that or 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15, but I believe it's 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, and the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the scripture talks about that there's going to come that time, and people have made hay over that. They've said that the rapture and the coming of the Lord is a Johnny-come-lately doctrine, yet we find it in the word of the Lord, that the apostles were looking for the coming of the Lord. And the scripture tells us, for them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So there's got to be something inside of us that looks for the coming of the Lord, looks beyond our current circumstance. And I'm talking about your faith today, and I'm going to go into some other scriptures. The Christian life, of course, if you're really going to live for God, you've got to be dedicated. Amen? It takes dedication to live for God. Because there's going to be trials. There's going to be troubles. And the greatest part is there's going to be victories. One thing that I've learned, and of course, it'll be in this coming May, I'll be living for God 32 years since God filled me with the Holy Ghost many years ago. I was just a young man in the military. I got a hold of God in a way I had never known before. And I've lived long enough for the Lord now to find out that I'm going to have some difficulties in life. But I've also lived long enough now to see some things come to pass and some victories come in my life. And I can tell you this, there is nothing so sweet as seeing a victory of God in your life. When you've been through a trial, when you've been through a difficulty, when you've been through problems, when you've been through things that you're wondering, you know, God, what's going on here? One of the sweetest things in the Christian walk is to make it to the other side. So you can make it to the other side here. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about the other side of troubles. You're always going to have something else come up. I wish I could say that once you get through one or two and, you know, you're in the club, but there's no in the club. Because there's going to be periodically, there's going to be troubles and there's going to be trials and there's going to be, I hope I'm not discouraging you. But I think what I'm saying is the reality. But the reality is also that God will bring you through. Amen? He will bring you to the place. And turn, Brother Tayo, go to Isaiah chapter 43. I love this scripture. I love this scripture because there's been times in my life, start with the first verse, Isaiah chapter 43. Start with the first verse, that I have actually got down on my knees and I have prayed and I have opened the scripture here and I have said, God, I don't feel like I can make it. Anybody else ever feel like that? Be honest. Be honest. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not Jesus. Amen. I still put my pants on one leg at a time in the morning. I still get tired. As a matter of fact, the older I get, it seems the more tired I get. I told my wife, I said, you're going to be gone for 5 days. She says, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to sleep. I got to get some rest. So she left, and that evening I went to bed at 6 o'clock and got up for prayer, early morning prayer here at the church. And then last night I went to bed at 7, and I'm feeling a little better today. I was feeling very tired and very worn out. But the scripture says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Now, first of all, you might say, well, he's just talking to Jacob. No, he's not. No. A lot of the Old Testament scriptures have a New Testament application. Jacob was the natural name. Israel was the spiritual name. We were natural, but when we're born again, we become spiritual people. Not like we're a ghost or anything like that, but there's a spiritual part to us. And the first thing, I like the first thing he says to Israel, Jacob. What's the first thing he says? Fear not. Sometimes you can let the things in life mess with you. Amen? Amen. But he said, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. And I want you to look at this scripture, 43:1, and I want you to claim that scripture for yourself today. You called me, Lord. Do you ever wonder why you started feeling the urge. Every one of us, even if you grew up in the church, it was some time that God called you. Some of us, the Lord called us a long time before we responded. With me, it really wasn't that way. I started to get in trouble, and I was 22 years old. And, you know, I realized that, hey, I just prayed it like this. I said, hey, God, if you're really real, you got to help me. But years before, 6 years before that, I had been in a car accident, and I was thrown out of a convertible, and I was flying through the air with the greatest of ease, like the guy in the flying trapeze, really, and I felt a hand hold me in the middle of the air. And I was hurt in that accident, but not as bad as it could have been, because I landed in the only spot where there were no trees and rocks and glass. And now I know it was God. And he had to bring me to a place where I could find him. And that was when I was 22 years old. And God called me. Each one of us can look to a time when the Lord called you and you answered him. Some of us, and I think there's a few of us here, that, not many, but there's a few, you grew up in the church. But even though you grow up in the church, your mother and your father cannot save you. Amen? You have to find salvation for yourself. You have to find your own personal walk with God for yourself. So each one of us have that place and that time when God specifically talked to you, dealt with you, called you. Maybe he said, Amber, Jonathan, Sabas. He called you by name. So when you look at Isaiah 43 and 1, I want you to claim that scripture for yourself. I called you by your name, and thou art mine. Let me tell you something about being in the hands of the Lord. There's nobody that can take you out of the hands of God. There's no difficulty that's too hard. There's no problem that's too big for God. There's only one person that can take you out of the hands of the Lord. You know who that is? You. I want to go back, and we're going to come back to Isaiah 43 and 2 here in just a few minutes, but I want you to go to Genesis chapter 15, Brother Tile. And I want to give you, start with the first verse, and I want to give you a little background here. Everybody know who Abraham was? Abraham was the father of all nations. We're called children of Abraham. Abraham had his own difficulty with faith. The Lord told him, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And I'm going to make your seed like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. Of course, the sand of the sea speaks about natural Israel. And even after being cast out of Israel many years ago, Israel again in 1946 came into being. And they're coming back into the homeland, so to speak. And the seed is still there. The spiritual, the stars of the sky are those that would be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. So as children of God that are born again, we are that those stars in the sky, excuse me. But Abraham, in Genesis 15, is 10 years after God spoke to him. And his faith was just waning a little bit. His faith was going down. Anybody ever have that happen? You're like, man, I've been on victory and I've been on the mountaintop, but, you know, I've had some things happen lately, God. My faith is not feeling too good. And this is where Abraham was. It was 10 years after the Lord first told him, I've got a promise for you, Abraham. And it says, "And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying," what? You notice he says the same thing that he said in Isaiah 43. Fear not. Why? Because life can be full of fear. We're afraid for our jobs. We're afraid for our families. Sometimes we fear for our children. Sometimes we fear sickness. Sometimes we're facing sickness, and we don't know what's going to happen. But he looked, and he said, "Fear not, Abraham. I am the shield and thy exceeding great reward." We sang those songs about Zion today. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. About heaven's jubilee, when with all that heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens are going to ring. He is our exceeding great reward. You see, that's coming down the road. It is coming down the road, but you can look right here and right now, and I've been preaching this lately. When somebody comes to me and says, "How can you believe in God?" I can say, "How can you not believe in God? I pray for folks and God does things." Just last Sunday, it was a lady we've been praying for. She's not here. She may walk in a little while. She walked in my office, and I just looked at her. I said, "You feeling the prayers, huh?" And her eyes got real wide. She says, "How did you know?" I looked at her. I said, "Don't you think I pray and I don't believe that God is going to hear me when I pray?" I can look to times when I've prayed for folks. I can look for times when God has healed. I can look at times when God has provided. You come a little bit too late to tell me that God is not real. But sometimes the devil will try to throw fear into you. So the Lord responds and he says, "Fear not." Because one of the great things about God is the scripture says, Brother Rick, it says, he knows that we are just flesh. He knows that we're not Superman. He knows, unless you're just really whacked out or something, you're not superhuman. All of us have fears. All of us have failings. All of us have difficulties. And God knows that. And he can look at you today. He can look at your situation and say, "Don't worry about it. I'm going to work it out." Amen? Come on. Amen. Go to the next verse. Genesis 15 and 2. And Abram said, I really love this scripture. Because here, Abraham, in a vision, of course, is standing before the presence of God. God's talking to him. And Abraham, notice the scripture tells us that Abraham is the father of the faithful. Right? Yet Abraham looks at God and said, "What you going to do to me, for me? Seeing you ain't come through with what you said you was going to do before." Isn't that what he said? I'm paraphrasing. But isn't that what he said? "Hey, God, you promised." A lot of times we do not understand the timing of God. Anybody know what the scripture says? And I actually did the math on this one time. It says, a day with the Lord is as what? 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Now, how many of you parents have ever had your child look at you and say, "Daddy, Daddy, I need something"? And what do you say to them? "Just a second." Anybody ever done that? Every one of us has done that. I've looked. Well, a second, if you do the math, a second with God is a year and a half. Be glad he didn't say, "Wait a minute." It would really be in trouble. But God's time is not always our time. Sometimes he will let us go through things. And many times, and my wife doesn't always like this, because my wife, for those of you that don't know, is a registered member of the Cherokee tribe. Even last time I was in Oklahoma in 2000, it's been quite a while since I've been there. I even bought her own tomahawk. And we make a lot of hay out of that. But I remember when I was a child, I used to watch Westerns and always ended up the same way, a lot of them. There's the guy by the cliff. The Indians are coming. They're on the horses. They're going, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." They're shooting arrows at you. You got nowhere to go. Sometimes it really feels like that when you're living for God. You're standing on a cliff. What do you do? If you go forward, the devil's coming at you. If you go backwards, you're going to fall away from God. That's when the Lord says, "Fear not." That's when the Lord says, I've got some things I can work out with you. Now, go to the next verse, the third verse. Abraham went on a little bit, still complaining about God. You know, hey, Lord, you said you're going to do this. You said you're going to do that. And you ever complain at God? Be honest. You ever complain about at God? Hey, God, you know, you said you'd do this. Hey, God, the word says this. It ain't happened in my life. You know, what's going on here, God? Go to the next verse. That's what I've complained at God. I'll be honest. Hey, Lord, you told me to do this, and this is not happening. Go to the next verse, Genesis 15 and 4. I like God's answer. Word of the Lord came unto him and said, you know what, Abraham? Eleazar is not going to be your heir. The goodness of the Lord here, if you just read that through that quickly, go on to the fifth verse. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look towards heaven and tell all the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. Go to the sixth verse. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. I'll tell you how unfaithful or without lacking faith Abraham was. Abraham looked God right in the eye and said, God, so what are you going to do for me, seeing you ain't done nothing yet? Now, we would think that God would go and he would say, you know, okay, I've got this big hammer of God, or I've got this lightning, you're going to be a crispy critter. But that's not what God did. God understood that Abraham was just flesh, and he looked at Abraham and he renewed his promise to him. I think maybe today there are folks here that you're discouraged. That you're wanting God, you don't know what's going on in your life. And the Lord is talking to you right now, saying, just hang on, because I'm going to renew your faith today. He took him. And see, what was counted for righteousness, you notice that the Lord didn't say, well, you know, Abraham doubted me, so I'm taking, you know, I got two sheets here. One's faith and one's lack of faith, or one's righteousness and one's unrighteousness. And Abraham didn't believe me, so I'm going to knock down the righteousness one a little bit. And he's going to have to build up the one on the right a little more to make up for the one that's going to be down, or the scales are going to be wanting. Didn't say anything like that. Said Abraham, just believe God. God talked to him. Abraham believed him. He said it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, go back to Isaiah 43 and 1. I said we would be there. I want to just go through that real quick. And it said that, fear not, Jacob. I like this. Like I said, he did the same thing to Abraham. You can also look at the life of Elijah. Elijah had this great victory, and he got so discouraged, he said, God, just kill me and get it over with. Anybody ever felt like that? Lord, why don't you just kill me? I'm just tired of this. You're not gonna, I mean, I'm talking about committing suicide. You're just looking at God and say, you know, God, just get it over with. So go to the second verse, Isaiah 43 and 2. He told Jacob, after he said, fear not, he says, when you go through the waters, I'm going to be with you. I don't know about you, but I've had some difficulties in my life. Thank God I married, my wife has been so good to me. She's never done anything to hurt me. She's always been a good woman. When somebody comes up and criticizes my wife, they better watch out, because they're talking about my sweetheart there. So I've never had those kind of problems, but I've had problems on the job. I've had financial problems. I've had business, had my own business for a while. I've had business problems. I've had preacher problems. Some of the hardest things for a preacher is other preachers. I've had church problems, had people disappoint me, people come against me, all kinds of crazy stuff. But I've come to understand something, that when I go through things, God is with me. I'll never forget this one thing that I went through, and some of you have heard me say this, but I'll tell it again because there's probably some folks that haven't heard this. But I remember that when I was working for General Electric back about 1992, about 20 years ago now almost, they told me they didn't like me because I was a Christian. So this is not speculation or anything. And two managers took me out of a meeting and told me they wanted me to hand them my resignation right now for no other reason than I was a Christian. And I looked at them and I said, Harry, this one of the guys' name was Harry. I said, I don't like working for you. But when I quit, it's going to be my decision. And he said, well, if you don't hand it in now, we're going to fire you and we're going to make it messy. I said, well, do what you got to do. Well, it turned out that Harry was cheating on his wife. And I have no doubt that an angel went to Harry's wife and said, you know what? I think it's time for you to stop playing around with this guy and do something. So his wife turned him into General Electric Company for stealing. And 2 weeks later, Harry was fired and lost his, he had many years with GE, lost his pension and everything. It was one of the messiest firings I'd ever seen. What I found out through that was even in my difficulties, God's with me. Even in my difficulties, you can't mess with the children of God. One thing I've also noticed is when God does let something happen, we actually got evicted from a house one time. That's one of the most shameful things. And the reason I got evicted was because I was working, we were working in a home missions church upstate New York, and I was coming home every night after work, and I was taking the seat out of my van, putting it inside, putting mud, painting materials in the van, going a few miles away and working till it was late at night, coming home, putting the seat back in. Well, some of my neighbors started complaining and said I was moving furniture in and out of my house all the time. We had a neighbor that was crazy. Anybody ever had a neighbor like that? Yeah, I've had some real wackos. And to make a long story short, she got us evicted. But when we left that place, God gave us a better place. When we left that place and moved to New Jersey, this was 1994, God gave us the best place we ever lived in. When we left that place, God gave us our home that we now reside in. Long before we started this church, God blessed us with a house. See, I've noticed that when the Lord lets things happen in your life, He lets things happen because He's wanting to bring a blessing into your life. So don't be concerned when you feel like, man, the devil got the upper hand on me. You know the way you need to look at it? Just look at it as, I'm excited. I want to see what God's going to do now. Come on, take your eyes, turn them around, and see what God can do for you. Or what the Lord, not, I hate to use that term, what God can do, but what the Lord's going to do in your life. Because when God does things in your life, let me tell you something, some great things that happen. But He said, when you go through the waters, you're not going to, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. They shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. You ever hear about the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You know, three Hebrew children. It seems so unjust. They stood, well, we're not going to worship the Nebuchadnezzar as our God. We're going to stand up and we're just going to say no. So he had them thrown into a fire. And we won't read the scripture, but I'll tell you what the scripture says. You can look it up later, and if I'm a liar, then you can tell me I'm a liar. But you're not going to find me to be a liar. It tells us that they went into the fire bound. Scripture says he told them, bind them, tie them up, throw them into the fire. And they came out, and the scripture says they were not bound anymore. They were not. There was no smell of smoke on them, and neither was the hair of their head singed, is what the scripture says. You read it, it's there. What that tells us is that you can go through things in life, and you may go into a trial, or you may go into a difficulty, and you may go and feel like you're bound, but by the time God lets some things happen, you come out free. Amen? You come out free. Not only that, but there's no smoke on you. There's no smell of smoke. In other words, people cannot even see that you've been through a difficulty. Not only that, he says that the hair on you, you're not even going to be singed. What that also, I think symbolically, what that's talking about is I've been through some things in life that if I told you them, you would be discouraged. And you could not believe I went through those things. Because it doesn't look like I went through them. It looks like, man, I've been living for God and I got to victory. I've never had a downtime. Everything's always been going good. And everything's not always been going good. There's been difficulties. There's been troubles. There's been trials. But I found out when you keep your hand in the hand of the Lord and let your faith be tough, nobody's going to know that you went through the things you went through. And you'll be an encouragement to somebody else. Hallelujah. Go to the next verse. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You can look to the Lord, and God is able to answer in your difficulty. He's able, this Bible talks about that when we sought him, he answered with a strength in our soul. Have no doubt that your faith is going to be tried. If you're going to live for God, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. If you're going to live for God, it says, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The NIV puts it like this. It says, these have come so that your faith, and the Word of God considers faith. And what is faith? I mean, you know, faith is so generic. What is faith? You know, oh, I believe God. I believe. That's not faith. It's not faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Is that what it says? That's what it says. That's why, that's one of the reasons it's important to sit under preaching. Now, I understand that not all preaching builds faith, and not all preachers preach truth either. So you got to be under somebody that's preaching faith and he's got the truth of the word of God. But it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You see what mixes. I'm going to tell you how it works. You get home. A lot of people say, well, I'll live for God at home and I don't have to go to church. Nah, ain't going to work that way. This is why you need to be in a church, be in the house of the Lord. You can go home and you can pray. God can talk to you about some things. You can read the word of the Lord. I don't know, have any of you had the experience that you've read something in the Word of God and it really wasn't really, you know, didn't really come at you, but you went to the house of God, you heard the preaching of the Word of God, and it's almost like somebody took a big glowing highlighter and highlighted the Scripture, and you're like, wow, now I see it. Anybody? Raise your hand. Come on, I'm not alone. I've had it happen. That's faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you're not under the place where you can hear the anointed preaching of the word of God, you will not get the revelation that you should have. Because that faith now that you've seen it, just like I don't know if anybody was affected by Isaiah chapter 43 or Genesis 15 that we just read, then you can take that word that you just had, man, it was like the Holy Ghost put a glow around that thing. And you read it at home and you saw it, and or just the Lord talked to you during the preaching of the word. And you can stand there and say, God, your word said this. That, my friend, is faith. That's standing upon the word of God. Sometimes the Lord will speak things to you that are not in the Word of God. And if God speaks to you something that's not in the Word of God, it will never contradict His Word. But if God has spoken something to you that's not in the Word of God, just like Abraham, there was no Bible when Abraham was there. There wasn't an Old Testament. There wasn't a New Testament. There wasn't Genesis. There wasn't Exodus. There was no first five books of the Bible. There was no Tanakh, as the Jews call it. There was just the Word of the Lord. Which also brings me to the place where you can have, you know, the word of English is kind of a funny language. You drive on parkways and park on driveways. Everybody know that? You shoot the deer, but you don't want to shoot your dear wife. So some people have problems with English. Well, the same thing is with the word. The word has two meanings. The word has two meanings in the English language. One is the logos. That's that written word of God. That's what we just said. Isaiah 43, Genesis chapter 15. God, your word said it. Your word said it, God. That's the logos. That's the written word of God. You stand on that word of God and there's faith. But there's also the rhema word of God, which is the living word of God. And that came to Peter, for example, when he was fishing all night and the fish saw no fish. And Jesus came to him and said, cast your net on the other side. And Peter told him, he said, I've fished all night and I've caught no fish. Nevertheless, at thy word. And sometimes the Holy Ghost will speak to you, and it will be at His word. That's the rhema word of God. And it'll be like, that's what happened to Abraham. He had the rhema word, the living word of God, come to him and tell him, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Your seed is going to be like the sand of the seas and the stars of the sky. He got discouraged. But one more time, the word of the Lord came to him. That rhema word of God, that living word of God says, I've not forsaken you. I've not forgotten about you. The promise is going to come to pass in your life. You just need to believe me. And that's what we've got to do sometimes. God has spoken some things to us, and we don't need to sit there and doubt and say it's not possible. God is not able. But we need to, when God will come and will renew that promise in our life, we need to say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I choose to believe the word of God. Somebody under the sound of my voice, the Lord has been talking to you about these things. He's confirming it right now, and He's increasing your faith because He's wanting to tell your faith's got to be tough. Hallelujah. Your faith, though, will be tried. But faith itself can bring you through any situation. If you need healing, stand on the word of God. If you need deliverance, you know, it's not the will of God for anyone to be bound. You read about the ministry of Jesus Christ. I just wrote a new tract and I put it in our visitor packet today. But you read the word of God, the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's to set the captives free. It's not the will of God for anybody to be bound. He came to deliver. If you need to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, stand on the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, just go ahead and go down in the waters in Jesus' name, because then the promise is yours. Some people receive it before, some people receive it later, but when you get baptized, the promise is yours, and you can stand upon the Word of God and say, God, your Word said it, I want it. Amen? If you're discouraged, let me tell you something. What does the Bible call the devil? He's the accuser of the brethren, of the sisters too. Just making a little light there of the sisters. The Lord will never discourage you. When you got something coming to you and telling you you can never live for God, nothing's ever going to happen, blah, 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 blah. It's not God. Amen. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. Now, some people mistake conviction and condemnation. Conviction, sometimes the Lord will talk to your sins and say, you need to repent. You're low down. You're no good. You need to repent. But he will always tell you, if you will turn to me, I can change things. That's conviction. Condemnation that comes from the enemy tells you, sinned, you're no good, you're a bum, you're never going to be a bum, you're never going to be able to get right with God. That is condemnation. That is not conviction. So if you're in the house of the Lord today with condemnation, you do not have to live with condemnation. What does the scripture today tell us? For therefore is no condemnation. Sometimes we sing that song. I see a crimson stream of blood. And as I read in the book of Daniel, the devil will come to you and he'll try to wear you out. He don't give up. You got to out-tough him. And again, it's all right here. It's not anywhere else, but right here is where it is. Amen. Sister Maricar, where are you? Why don't you come? Let me tell you, as she's getting ready to come and get tuned up, let me tell you about some of the promises of the Lord. Because I don't think anybody should have to live with condemnation. Amen. I appreciate Sister Maricar so much. She's been with us since our first service, and they've been faithful, and we appreciate them. Amen. She doesn't even get upset with me when I say, I miss my wife playing for me. Hallelujah. Brother Rick read it. Psalms 100 and verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep, His people, the sheep of His pasture. But the greatest thing is to know that He is God. And as God, God does things that only God can do. Amen. That's the greatest thing about serving the Lord. I'm not serving a man. Amen. A man cannot change things. I can sit there and I can, you know, I don't really even like to do counseling. I've probably said this before, but I don't even like to do counseling. I just like to see people get things to get together with the Lord, because God can do more in 1 minute than I can do with hours and hours and hours of counseling. Amen. But in that, you look at your situation, and when you look at an impossibility, I want you to think about that scripture, Psalms 100 and verse 3, that says, know that the Lord, He is God. As God, He can change situations. As God, He can make some things come to pass that are totally impossible. As God, He can just do a miracle in your life. Because He's God. I can't do it. I know right now, man, if I had some money, I'd buy Sister Yvonne a car. She's getting a job next month. She's got no car. And she's like, how am I going to get to work? The bus doesn't go there. But I know something. The Lord, He is God. The Lord is either able to work something out, give her a car, give her the money for a car. I don't know how He does things. And I told the Lord, I said, I don't care how you do it in whatever situation, just as long as you do it, God. See, we get it in our mind that God can only do it a certain way. Well, God's got many different ways. And I've used this story before, but I love it so much. talked about a little old, it's a Caribbean woman. She was always praying, and she had an atheist for a neighbor. And the neighbor heard her praying one day and said, "Oh, God, I got no money. I keep my groceries, Lord. You got to provide for me." And this little atheist says that, "You know what? I'm going to show her there is no God. I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and buy her groceries." And he went ahead, and he bought her a whole bunch of groceries, rang the doorbell, and ran and hid behind a bush over there. And, of course, she comes to the door and says, "Praise God, I got my groceries. I got my groceries. Hallelujah. Thank you for answering prayer." He jumps out and says, "Aha, see, God didn't do this. I did it." And she says, "And you even used the devil." Come on. God can take people that you wouldn't even think were able to help you and help you. Why? Because He's God. Don't limit God and say, "God, you got to do this in a certain way. I want step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, step six." Stop limiting God. Just believe that He's God and He's able. However you want to do it, Lord. However you want to change it, God. However you want to provide, God. I don't care, God, because I know You're God. Oh, man. 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Not only are we His people, not only are we the sheep of His pasture, not only is He God, but we're His temple." 2 Samuel 12:22. "For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake." You hear that? He's not going to do it. I've got a situation right now I'm dealing with, and I'm like, "Hey, God, now You're the one's going to take care of this. And You're not going to let me down. Because I believe that God called me. I believe that God put this church here. I believe a lot of things. And if I believe those things, then I believe that God is able to take care of some things." Amen. I'm talking about having some faith that's tough. Having some faith that when things look at you and say, "It's just not going to be possible. It's just not going to happen." You can look and say, "My faith says that God is able." When He called you by your name, here's a great thing. When He called you, Romans 11:29, put it up there. When He called you by your name, He said you are His. He's got no regrets. Sometimes God will call us. "I've got a purpose for you. I've got a plan for you." And you know what happens? We mess it up. We do something wrong. Maybe we sin. Maybe we do some wrong things. Maybe we take a wrong path. Maybe we just mess up. I don't know how else to put it. And then we sit there and say, "God, You can't use me anymore, Lord. You can't, nothing can happen. I'm just no good. I'm so low I can walk upright underneath the snake, belly of a snake crawling in the sand. That's how low I am." But the word of the Lord tells me the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. He's not sorry He called you. He's not sorry He called me. Amen. You just need to put that aside. You know, that's what happened to Elijah. And I hope I'm not preaching too long, but I'll be done here soon. I haven't even barely read my notes today. And that was Romans 11:29. But let me tell you a little bit about Elijah. I said a little bit about it earlier. He goes and the Lord sends him to the 400 prophets of Baal. You know the story. He goes and mocks them, you know. "What's the matter? Your God, they're cutting themselves and cutting their bulls. Their God's not doing nothing." And he cuts his bullock. And not only He's on Mount Carmel. But he makes them carry barrels of water. They had to go a long way for those barrels of water so they could wet his sacrifice. He was just mocking them. When he prayed, the power of God came down. Amen. Great victory. They slew all the prophets of Baal. He went away, and then he heard that Jezebel. Isn't it funny? I've never met a girl named Jezebel. Any of you ladies ever named your daughters Jezebel? Not one. Jezebel sent some notice to him. Now, get this. You know, Elijah, man, he's the prophet. He's got great faith. And this woman sends him a thing and says, you're going to be dead. You're going to be meat. You're going to be dog's meat. I will kill you. So what happens? The Bible says he ran. He ran 13 miles. It doesn't say 13 miles, but if you do a measurement between the two places he ran to, he got underneath the juniper tree and he said, God, kill me. That's what it said. And the Lord said, get up and do the work of the prophet. Go anoint Jehaziel. Go anoint Ananias, whatever the guy's name was. Get up and do the work of the prophet. God wasn't sorry he called him. Sometimes we get our places where our faith fails us. Sometimes we get our places where we're not what we should be. And we say, well, God's going to forsake us. God's going to kick us to the side. It's the devil that kicks you to the side. God does not kick his people to the side. He may set them down a little bit. He don't kick them to the side. You can come back. You can be better than ever. Hallelujah. Faith. Faith that believes God. Faith that believes the word of God. He's not sorry he gifted you. He's not sorry that he called you. He's not sorry he put a burden on you. You may be sorry, but he's not sorry. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. Why don't you bow your head? The Lord's talking to some of you. It's not just one person. You don't have to be assuming it's just one person. There's quite a few. The Lord's talking to you about your faith today. He's saying faith's got to be tough. Stand upon the word of God. Stand upon the promises of God. Don't let the devil beat you up. Amen. Amen. I wonder if the word of the Lord has touched you today. If you would come, just make your way, kind of surround this altar. Kind of leave the aisles open a little bit so everybody can get up here that wants to get up here. But why don't you come and step out and just let the Lord, you know, when Abraham, the Lord came to Abraham, began to talk to him, he received it. Is there anybody today, God's been talking to you about some stuff, and it may have not come to pass yet. You may have had some difficulties and so on and so forth, that if you can just receive what the Lord has said and let it be counted for righteousness to you.